Donna, there we go. The John Curley, Sherry Elliker show, starring Sherry Elliker. How does it make you feel when I say that?
I love it.
Yeah, a lot of responsibility.
I know.
Special guest star, Sherry Elliker. Donna, get ready! Reading this report and my brain started to hurt and I was like, oh, I gotta call Todd Myers. It's Todd. The man who doesn't match his music. One of the most boring but lovable guys I know. We go down to the caboose every once in a while, Sherry, and he's the only person in the caboose that's ever ordered a... What do you order? What is it you drink? Myers?
If only you could see me dancing right now.
No bull. What is your drink at the caboose? Is it a Manhattan?
I like a good Manhattan, yeah. And they make a good one, so there you go.
All right. Oh, okay, all right. Well, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pantser. All right, so listen, the story comes out, and I said, I've got to call Todd on this one. Budget surplus pushes states' financial reserves to all-time high. So we printed money, and then we gave it to the states after the government locked down and destroyed the U.S. economy, throwing 40 million people out of work, causing millions of people to lose hope and hundreds of thousands of people to overdose. But that's not why we have you on. The reason we have you on is because if you go through the Pew thing and you look all the way down, Sherry, the map that I'm looking at here, it's a lot of pretty colors, blue, dark blue, light blue. There's only one state that's got an orange color. What state is that?
As I look at the map, that state is WA, the state of Washington.
So, Todd, how is it that we don't have any money in our rainy day fund?
So, because the legislature in past years wasn't setting aside money for a rainy day, which is ironic in Washington, the voters passed a constitutional amendment to create a rainy day fund that could only be used under certain circumstances, generally with bipartisan agreement, that it was for economic crises. Yeah. So, guess what? We've been in an economic crisis the last couple of years, and so what... budget writers that the state did is that they took the money out of the rainy day fund and put it into sort of a fund on the, you know, sort of on the side that didn't have the restrictions that the rainy day fund did. So what you see in that is that you see the legislature having basically closed the rainy day fund bank account and put it to the side. And it's sort of like, you know, taking your money out of your IRA and putting it into your front pocket.
Ah, there you can use it.
Exactly. And so even if you – so what some people say is, well, that's not really accurate because we still do have some reserves that we can call on. And as the Pew Report notes, even if you account those reserves, we're still almost at the bottom in terms of, you know, nationwide. We're still very bad. So, but that there are no restrictions. And so if you say, no, I still have a reserve fund, I still have a retirement account, it's just in my front pocket instead of my IRA now, right? People might raise a few eyebrows about whether how serious you were about using that for retirement. And that's what's going on in Washington State right now.
So, Todd, how does the rainy day fund get funded? And does it exist or is it just it's just sitting there? Right. I mean, but how does money get into it?
There's money allocated by the legislature to put into the rainy day fund. So they put it in there. But it is and there is a recommended percentage that they are supposed to put in there every time. But this time, like I said, what they did is because there was an economic crisis, there was the opportunity for them to the rules allowed them to spend from it. And what they did is they basically swept all of it and set it aside.
Ugh. By the way, a Washington Policy Center, where you do great work. The Washington Policy Center keeps track of the Washington State Emergency Order. This is the giving the governor power to do absolutely everything the governor would like to do. We are at, and they do a little counter here, 803 days, 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 35 seconds. So I don't know how many other states are still in the emergency, but what kind of powers does this give our governor to spend money and to be able to just basically be the king of the state?
So I think we are one of, I can't remember now, three or four. There's only three or four states that are still under emergency rule. Many of those other states, though, have some restrictions on the governor. We, our emergency powers, has very few. Now, he cannot just write his own budget. The legislature did write a budget, and that's how this the thing we previously talked about occurred. It was the legislature, not the governor, per se. But he can do a lot of regulatory. He can add regulations, and he can remove regulations, and that has been the problem, is that there's been no legislative oversight about the regulatory decisions that he has made for the last 803 days.
At what point do you give up these controls? Because the legislators on the Republican side, you talk to someone like Jim Walsh, they're basically powerless to be able to stop this thing. So the clock there at the Washington Policy Center will keep ticking.
So the question is, when do they get rid of it? Is either when the legislature does something, and the legislature this year had the opportunity to do something. There were bills. And in fact, there was even a bill on the floor to be voted on, and the Democrats pulled it at the last second. Speaker Jenkins, she pulled it at the last second because I think she was worried it was going to pass or something. I don't know. You can ask her. The other issue is that, so the governor was asked, when are you going to rescind the executive orders? And he said, I will do that, you know, when the time is right, and that time is not now. So we don't. He hasn't set a goal. He hasn't said, here's what we're trying to achieve, and here are the metrics to measure it. He just says, I have decided that the time is not now. And so that's what he told the Crosscut Festival last weekend or the weekend before.
I see. Well, don't forget, there's only one person that can save people's lives, and it's Governor Jay Inslee, as according to Governor Jay Inslee.
I mean, he quite literally said that, and said that there is only one person who can do this, and it's the governor of the state of Washington. So it sort of reminded me when Donald Trump said, only I can solve it. So that's kind of where we are, unfortunately. And there's a lot of costs to be paid for that. The regulations are having an impact on Washington's economy and people's lives and things like that. But we don't have a lot of oversight.
We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done.
Do you think that the average person is aware that this is going on? And if they...
Sure, there are no average people listening to this show. But
do you think the really smart Mensa members that are listening to this show understand that this is happening? And if they do, are they outraged about it? Do they have any interest whatsoever in contacting their representatives saying this has got to stop, it has implications? Or is it just one of those things that people have just said, yeah, well, you know, what are we going to do?
I think that there are a number of reasons that people are not interested. One, it is a very complicated issue. People don't understand the implication, what regulations he's adding or not. I think, there are a lot of people who are doing okay. I think in King County, there's a lot of people who are able to work from home, who are prosperous and who are doing okay and don't feel the impact of these. And so therefore it's not on their, you know, the top of their list.
Right.
Look, the simple fact is that a lot of people are trying to live their lives, right? They want their kids to go to school. They have lots of problems. The traffic or whatever else in their lives. They're trying to just live their lives. And if I come to them and say, what you ought to be worried about is Jay Inslee's emergency order, they're going to look at me like I am a geek, which I am.
You are.
And wonder why that's more important than all of the other problems that they're facing in their lives. And to be honest, it's probably not for them. So it's very, you know, the reason that there are people like me is because we, you know, raise awareness, hopefully, about these sorts of things, which, although the impact may not be apparent in your day-to-day lives, they do have a corrosive effect, and they do harm people, even if it's not readily apparent.
And slowly but surely, as they turn the heat up, I smell there's a frog for dinner. So that's what we end up with. All right, Todd. See you at the caboose.
I will order you a Manhattan next time.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Todd Myers from Washington Policy Center coming by and making the complicated easily understood. appreciate the time there. By the way, Congress is finally going to decide. First time they've decided to have an open hearing on UFOs in 50 years. I saw a piece, I think it was Greenwald from The Guardian, had pointed out that the 9 pages that the government did release to the public were so heavily redacted that they'd left out all the really, really good stuff that they've been following about this UFO stuff. So there's looking at people kind of yawned through it. But there's things in there. I don't know if it's going to come out in this public hearing, but for the first time in 50 years, they will have people come in there and testify as to what might possibly be out there. I'm Art Bell. Somewhere in the high desert.
The Indiana Democrat Andre Carson says that he thinks that UFOs are a national security risk. And you're right, this Pentagon report that came out really didn't do anything. It was very anticipated. Everybody was kind of wondering what it was going to be. There was a bunch of, 143 aerial objects that were reported between 2004 and 2021. But there wasn't much in it. But there is this classified version of it. And they're thinking there probably will be a lot more interesting details in that if that can, if people can get access to that. But, they want to, or this Congressman Andre Carson wants to have this really discussed. He says it's the first time we need to really break the cycle of excessive secrecy and speculation with truth and transparency, so we can maybe find out what some of these reports have said and what people have actually seen.
Coast to Coast AM. I wonder if it's going to sound like an entire Coast to Coast AM thing. New time, first time caller west of the Mississippi. Go ahead. Here's a retired Navy aviator talking about the UFOs that he saw.
It's a clear blue sky. There's no wind. And you see this tic tac. It's just this white object that's randomly moving around. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. I remember telling my backseater, I said, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm a little weirded out. It's not a helicopter. It doesn't have rotor wash. There's no propulsion. There's no wings. It rapidly accelerates and disappears. Like, poof, gone. The weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
West of the Rockies, go ahead.
Thank you, Art. Do you believe in that?
Who, Art Bell?
No, the idea of aliens or life on other planets or just any of that. Are you interested? Do you believe it? What are your thoughts?
I believe it. I think, why not? Why can't there be something else out there? Sure, why not? And why this guy, these Navy aviators, these aren't guys that are just some, kooky guy sitting around eating cold soup out of a can in some back alley somewhere, scratching at himself and wondering whether or not that's a lice or whether
that's a lot of detail.
I'm painting pictures.
Yeah, okay. That's a lot. Cold soup.
I didn't tell you what kind of soup
himself.
He was eating. Yeah. Right. But no, the guy, and he turned to his backseater, whoever that is. I guess that's Goose. And he said, hey, what is that? That thing's giving me the creeps down there. Enough people have seen enough stuff that why couldn't there be some? How completely narrow-minded and small-minded we would be to think this is it. Doesn't get any better than this, than a 7 days all-inclusive sandals resort. Sure, that's good, but there's other parts of the world. There's other parts of the universe. I saw the front page of the Wall Street Journal today that they found a black hole or a Milky Way or something or other. It's a big, big place. Sherry, it just goes to show you want to deny it because you don't want to think, oh, we're dominating 3-6 in King County, Pierce County. And we have a whole nother
universe.
Quarks or whatever those that way out there we got to dominate. Tom and I used to be number 72 most popular show in Nigeria. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Congratulations. That is an accomplishment.
We didn't know why, but somebody had sent us this thing, and there we were, the Tom and Curly Show. And so whenever we did a story about Nigeria, we always had to be very careful because we didn't want to, reveal that it might have been into a corrupt government or something, because we didn't want to jeopardize our position as the 72th most popular podcast in Nigeria. But Listen, why couldn't there be something else out there? I think it would be certainly completely change Christianity. It would change the world as religion. It would really give everybody something else to think about. And it would broaden everything out. Then all of a sudden, things might seem smaller. You might not get old washed up actors gluing their ass to a Starbucks counter. Everybody would have a chance to talk about something else. Imagine The View. They'd be going nuts on it on The View.
Yeah, I just don't know that we'll get to any of that information in our lifetimes. I mean, it just seems so, you know, with all the work that they've already done and the things that they've done, other than seeing spacecraft or what appears to be spacecraft, I don't know that we're ever going to get to see what life is and those types of things on other planets. I think that's many, many, many eons away.
Hmm. Okay.
It'd be fun if we did. I'd love the idea. I think it'd be great. Yeah, I mean, why not? To see what, you know, to expand our own minds and expand our own perspective of what life is. That'd be amazing.
You know what? It would be so much more work for Mickey, because then all of a sudden it's like she got traffic on 167 out of Kent, and then there's like some backup in somebody's
spaceship.
See that? Yeah, somewhere. I was going to use the name of a planet that sounds like a part of a human body, but I thought, you know what? I'm better than that. Sherry would have done that, but I'm better than that. I'm better than that. All right?
But you would have gotten a big laugh from me if you did it.
Oh!
Biggest laugh ever.
Oh,
you know what? Bum.
Yeah, but I didn't.
I know. All right. So you made me, you know, you could have made me happy, but that's okay. Don't worry about me. I'll be over here if you need me.
Didn't they find organisms, though, on, like, one of the planets that kind of proved that there was...
That there was water at some point up in Mars has something, right? And then they found some other stuff. I heard that Saturn's rings are fading or something like that. So keep that in mind. Oh, yeah. And for those kids that are working on those science projects, Venus doesn't count anymore. Remember that? They got rid of Venus? Venus.
I think that's Pluto.
Pluto.
Pluto. Pluto went away.
Yeah, that's
I'm sorry.
Out.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, Venus is strong.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. That's right. Keel Mortgage. Laura Keel and everybody at Keel Mortgage. Looking forward to hearing from you. It's a mortgage, a reverse mortgage. Maybe take some money out of that house of yours. Keel Mortgage. 1-888-778-KIEL. All right. You know, I was going to do some work out here at the cabin, and my friend Brian, who was doing the work, said, just found out that the price of lumber went up 40%. So my advice to you is don't. So I'll have to call the bank and say, don't, Sherry.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have a hookup with Rye in the lumber department at Home Depot?
No, not that much of a hookup.
Oh, okay.
What am I going to do? Have him, like, give me a break on the 2x4s?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of project you're doing. But, yeah,
hey,
I just
Rye,
thought maybe, you know.
Why don't you slip me some of that plywood? ABC 9 Cincinnati tells a story about a family that's a lot of people are mad at this family now. They spoke to the family. Oh, and they spoke to the lawyer.
A new fallout to talk about for two Northern Kentucky parents as Child Protective Services confirms it is investigating some complaints after their six-year-old ran a marathon alongside them. You may recall back on May 1st, Ben Crawford.
I hate to interrupt you there, newsman with nice hair. He didn't run it. He didn't run the marathon. They walked it because it took him like seven. They were
eight
walking,
hours and 35 minutes.
Right. Which works out to be about 17, 18 minutes a mile.
Right. They have a bunch of kids, and the other kids waited at mile 25, I guess, for the parents and the little one to get there. And then eight of them walked across the finish line holding hands. After 8 hours and 35 minutes.
Okay.
Posted to social media about his six-year-old son, Rainier, completing the Flying Pig Marathon. It sparked a nationwide social media outcry with hundreds of people, including professional runners, weighing in, some accusing the parents of child abuse. This weekend, Crawford posted on social media saying, quote, Child Protective Services arrived at our house unannounced and interviewed our children, parents, and grandmother. This is a scary process because their answers determine the agency's legal right to take away the kids.
Ooh. This case is unique because the family themselves
It's got to be the lawyer, right? The lawyer.
Yeah, that's a lawyer.
we got more than one.
Posted this all over social media. And once there's an outcry and people make a report, CPS is obligated to do an investigation.
I feel like we're doing what we feel passionate about. It would be kind of tragic to stop all of that.
Now, the parents of the six-year-old are adamant it was the child's choice to run and not something they forced him to do. Tonight, they are standing by their decision to let him run alongside them.
There they go. Listen, how about you call CPS on the parent that has the kid just sitting in front of a computer screen playing video games all day? The kid walked it. They all walked it because I checked. They did the math. They were at there for 480 minutes. Divide that 26. So they're doing like 18 minutes a mile. A lot of people are walking. And the other kind of weird sort of pushback is runners and runner world. If you read that magazine, I'm sure you had the latest one. It's got a guy on the cover in a pair of shorts running. Mm-hmm. And people don't say you ran the marathon if you walked it. So a lot of runners like that's and have a cutoff too, because the poor people out there volunteering, guys doing the sweep, those are the people that have to like make sure no one's all the way in the back. The roads are closed down. They should have a time limit on these things, because just walking it, you didn't run the marathon, you walked it.
Okay,
and
but
there's a difference.
26 and a half miles to walk it, crawl it, roll it, whatever, for a six-year-old is extreme. I mean, that's
far.
That's a long way. That's a long way for anybody. And you just wonder, you know, people train for these. You've run marathons. People train aggressively for this. This isn't an easy thing to do. You can't wake up in the morning and just do a 26-mile marathon.
I did. It's called off the couch. Not a good idea.
So for a six-year-old, even with abundant energy, how much training did he really get? The other thing is there were reports of the kid crying throughout the whole thing. The parents' reaction to that was he wasn't crying any more than he usually does on a Sunday or something like that.
Yeah. And because on a Sunday, he normally goes 36 miles. So it's really,
right? It was an easy day.
What are you crying about? We're knocking 10 off.
We're making you walk, not run. Get over it. So I think it's child abuse. I think it's really awful that they had this kid do that. Because what is it? 6-year-old's adamant about it. A 6-year-old's adamant about anything that the rest of the family is doing. If the 6-year-old was adamant about eating a pint of ice cream, you know, all day long or for 3 meals a day, would you let him do that? I mean, you can't use his judgment. That's why you're a parent.
Well, maybe they carried him a little bit. Put them on the shoulders. Do the old dad shoulder
move. That's fine. If that were for like 25 of the miles, sure.
Check the kid out. Listen, if he's got like bloody feet and stuff like that and bleeding nipples, you know, then it means he left it all on the course. That's what you should have.
What they did was they tweeted out. They
you went right by the bleeding nipples. That's very interesting. You didn't comment on that.
It's kind of... They tweeted something about him struggling physically the next day, and he was pictured with this big thing of Pringles, and they bribed him with Pringles, I guess. You know, come on, keep going. You're going to get these Pringles. So it was like this big snack thing of Pringles, but they did say the words struggling physically. Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, that's kind of normal that he would be a little bit achy or something.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm sure. Who are they going to sue? Who are they going to sue? The whole public? I mean, what?
Wait, who are they suing? Do they say they're suing?
Well, I thought you said there was a lawyer.
There is a lawyer. They got a lawyer because the CPS is coming after him. So they hire the lawyer. The lawyer goes in there and says, no, the kid's fine, perfectly fine. The kid, do you want to do it on your own? Did your parents force you to do it? They're going to ask the kid a bunch of questions as to whether or not how he felt about doing the marathon. I did one off the couch when I found out that Oprah Winfrey was going to run the Marine Corps marathon in Washington, D.C. I turned to Paul and I said, hey, Oprah's going to run that. If Oprah can do it, I can do it. So I had not run. I was doing maybe 5-6 miles a week. I didn't put any base in, went out there and ran it on that Sunday.
Did you get through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Oof.
How long did it take you?
I was hurting bad. I went under 4 hours and something minutes. Not bad, but oh, my God, I was in so much pain. I come up. It's a great race, by the way. It's flat and very fast. And you come through a tunnel, and they have all these Marines inside the tunnel going, hoo, hoo, hoo. cheering you on.
Oh, wow.
And you come up. Oh, my God, you're in tears because you're just so excited, all the adrenaline in them. You come up, and then you go around the Iwo Jima statue, and then you finish. And if you come up around the Iwo Jima statue and you finish, and it was raining, then you're met by your wife who screams at you about how she has her shoes that got destroyed. And you get no sympathy. I said, are those? Oh, my God, I finished. I mean, look at my shoes. I said, aren't those the shoes we got at that DK outlet that were like $11? Oh, God. My shoes are ruined. I was like, you don't want to hear about my nipples.
She waited for you all 4 hours to greet you. That was very sweet.
Yeah. And wait, you don't tape,
ladies.
You don't tape when you run. I'm a former triathlete, so I'm just.
Yeah, I didn't learn about taping until later.
Ah, okay.
Leave the boobs out of it.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you.
I tape when I go down the stairs. That's how out of shape I am.
Mickey, we'll have to talk triathlons in a
we
little
will.
Bit. Here.
We'll
leave
it.
Sherry out of it because she's all trouble coming down the stairs.
Well, we can
all
talk right. about how I broke my leg.
Oh.
While running?
No, I flipped off my triathlon bike.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Patti LuPone, you know her from Evita. That was one of her big, 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 big ones back in the 80s or something. Patti LuPone, don't cry for me, Argentina. If you want to cry for somebody, Sherry, cry for the person in like the third row when Patti LuPone decided she was just going to go cuckoo on this person. I guess they took their masks down. Oh, no.
Put your mask over your nose.
By the way, is this in the middle of the show?
No, this is during a Q&A that happened after the show.
Oh.
It's like the cast is all up there.
Oh, it would have been far more exciting than during the show. Okay, hang on.
Put your mask over your nose. That's why you're in the theater. That is the rule.
No. The reason you're in the theater is because you want to see you, Patti LuPone, and the rest of the people. You're not in the theater to wear a mask. You wear a mask anywhere. But here we go.
If you don't want to follow the rule, get
out. Chris, there's curses in this.
Yeah, we're good.
Chris?
It's bleep.
Okay.
Who do you think you are?
A hatred.
Just put your mask over your nose.
Who are you? I'm a person.
She says I'm a patron.
A patron. Then yeah. She went to person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are if you do not respect the people that are sitting around you? You pay my salary. Bullshit. Chris Harper pays my salary.
Chris Harper pays me. Get Chris Harper on the phone. Ah, darling.
Here's what Chris Harper had to say. He said, over the course of her storied career, Patti has always had an unshakable bond with the audience, and she takes their role as seriously as her own. She also has a fierce... She also is a fierce advocate for the entire theatrical workforce. We stand with Patti and support her efforts to keep our entire community, from patrons to ushers, cast to stage crew, safe and healthy so we can keep Broadway open. Patti LuPone, by the way, had tested positive for COVID a while ago, and she also did a PSA about wearing a mask.
Did Chris Harper also say, did she mention anything about me owing her money? Patti LuPone, in February, she had to drop out of Sondheim's company because she had COVID. In 2000, she's an actress and she loves talking.
What do you think of Trump?
He's a f-ing mother asshole.
Thank
he
you.
He is a f-ing nut and he should be, he's certifiably insane and he has compromised this country and it is tantamount to treason what he just did. And why are we not doing anything about it? Why is it taking so long? What the f*** is going on in this country? That's what I think of Trump.
Eloquent. Very Broadway. Very much like this, isn't she?
This is darling.
And it's sad because I would love to see her. And she's an artist. She should perform for everybody. She shouldn't pick and choose. You know, she can affect everybody. So she.
Oh, that's right. Trump was going to come see her in something. I forget what the play was. She had gotten word that Trump was going to come, and she said, if Donald Trump is in the audience, darling, then I'm not performing!
She's going to throw her political views in it. Shame on her. You lost the fan, Patti. I loved you. I love your singing, but you lost me.
Boom. Wow, look at that lady, huh?
What a diva. Wow. And boy, what a mouth on her, huh?
On Patty?
Yeah.
Yeah, those old Broadway broads, you know, they, she's been around for a long time. I guess she just doesn't care. Calling out the audience member, by the way, that audience member, who is a patron and a person, they got up and left, and a few other people got up and left as well.
Well, I believe the mask mandate that's on in Broadway, it's got 41 Broadway theaters it right now, but I think it's lifted on May 31st anyway. What's she going to do then?
Patty went off on him. I was at a play. I went to see Othello, and Christopher Plummer was on stage playing Iago, and there were these people that were talking up in the balcony, and he's in the middle of the play. And Christopher Plummer, you know, he's from Sound of Music. That's, remember, you know, Edelweiss. And Christopher Plummer, in the middle of the play, these people are up there talking in the balcony. He stops and goes, I'll wait. And now he stops and he's just staring up at them. I'll wait.
Did they stop?
Oh my God. I think right after they relieved their bowels, and then they just sat there in their own filth. Oh my God. I can't imagine how they felt. And then he just turned back to James Earl Jones, who is playing Othello. How about that? And there they were on stage. And yeah, but it was one of those moments like, whoa, talk about breaking the fourth wall. Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and even if the play was bad, you remembered that, so it made it good.
Yeah. Oh, I also remember, I got into that when I snuck in. I used to go in at intermission, you could sneak in.
I mean, and you just would...
You couldn't sneak in. You did sneak in. That's how it used to work. Just open the doors and everybody go out there in the alleys and out front and smoke and talk and stuff like that. And then they never check your ticket. Just walk back in again. You find a seat no one's sitting at. And then there you go. That's where it used to work.
Oh, the 70s, right?
Oh, the good old days. 70s. Yeah. Okay. No, funny. Why don't you get back on
10.
Your bike again there?
Okay. Oh, fine.